Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we're live on the air, online, and on Facebook. And today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. If you have your copy of the guide, go ahead and turn to page 96 to the Galatians passage, because it is Basic Gospel, and it's our Friday study edition. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about how to live the Christian life, how it really spells itself out in day-to-day life. And this is really an important subject that we're talking about, it because this is the point where much confusion lies. There's so many people confused as to how the Christian life is really supposed to work. And Paul wrote the book of Galatians to help clear up that confusion, to really give us a direct path forward. And the confusion comes from trying to figure out what the purpose of the law is. And that's what we talked about last week. And the law is not there to cure us. It's not there to be a guide for daily living. The law was a diagnostic tool, not for God's purposes, but for ours. God knew all about us. He knew that we were dead in sin, that we needed life. We just didn't know that. We go around in life feeling like everything's A-okay. Of course, underneath we know something is wrong, but we're not quite sure what it is, so we just mask that and just go about living life. But God wants us to know what that is that's wrong with us. And so the law is His tool to help show us. So it's like a big mirror. We look into that mirror, and when we see ourselves in it, we see that we don't match up with what the law is saying. So the law condemns us. It shows us that we're guilty. It identifies us as sinners. It shows us that we're separated from the life of God. But that's where it leaves us. And that's not a very good spot, is it?
No, but it's properly uncomfortable. I mean, if it tried to take us to that spot and then put us in the lap of luxury, we'd never say, well, what next? But because it takes us to the truth and sticks us there and says, how's this working for you? Then we're forced to confront the reality and say, what am I going to do about this? Yeah.
Now, I think that's the first time, maybe you too, Bob, that you've ever heard properly and uncomfortable coupled together.
That's a coupling.
But isn't that a powerful way of saying
yeah.
it? And God wants us to be properly uncomfortable so that we will turn to Jesus for the solution. So we have all of these great diagnostic tools available to us in the medical world. We can get an X-ray, a PET scan, a CAT scan, an MRI, all sorts of things today that will really show in detail, I mean, minute detail,
yes.
what's actually going on with us. But that's all these incredible instruments can do. They can't fix any one of those problems that they find. So we have to go to somewhere else, to someone else, to get the cure. And that's what the law is like. It is like one of those finely tuned diagnostic tools. And if it's from God, it's the best.
Yes.
It shows us our real condition better than anything that we can ever imagine. But once it's shown us our condition, and once we have turned to Christ by faith, then the law has served its purpose. There's no longer a need for it, is there?
No.
And that's what we learned last week, that now that we have been justified by faith in Christ, we are no longer under the law. Now, there's a lot of people out there that have trouble letting go of that, really coming to grips with that and saying, yes, I fully believe that this is true, that the law has stepped aside and has given way to the power of God's Spirit living in us to guide us and lead us forward. So they cling to that law, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They hold on to it with every ounce of strength that they have in their human bodies. They just will not let it go. And there was a group of people like that that Paul confronted in Galatia, wasn't there?
Yeah. There were so many things positive that were happening in the region of Galatia. Jews were being saved, Gentiles were being saved, and then there was this group of people you just described who could not let go of the law, and they said, well, we can go help these people.
Yeah, because the law was their mark of identification,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, the Moses, you know, when God met with Moses on Mount Sinai, he specifically drew up this covenant between God and the people of Israel. So, you know, all the other Gentile nations surrounding them, they weren't a part of that covenant. God didn't give the law to the Egyptians. God didn't give the law to any of those other countries. God gave the law specifically to the people of Israel.
Yes.
So they didn't want to let go of their identification. That's what distinguished them, or at least they thought, from every other people group on the planet. But they missed it, didn't they? Because it wasn't the law that distinguished them. It was the fact that God chose to dwell among them. It was his power and presence that distinguished them as a people group. The law was just something that God gave them to organize them as a country.
Yes.
They needed a little organization. They had lived under Egyptian rule for 400 years. So this was just an ordering of the nation, and it was for their benefit. But it also has that spiritual purpose of diagnosing what's going on with us.
Yes.
But here these Judaizers were saying, we're not going to let go of it. And as a matter of fact, the Gentiles, they need to grab hold of the law just like us so they can be as accepted and as high up on the ladder as we are as far as God is concerned.
Yeah.
Well, Paul had some very kind and gentle words for these Galatians. What did he say to them in Galatians 3, 2, and 3?
I just have to read this like the parent. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?
Wow.
Wow.
He's subtle, isn't he?
Subtle.
Man, just you foolish Galatians. I mean, those were his words, you foolish Galatians. Boy, they had just missed the point.
Yeah.
They had heard about Jesus. I mean, Paul was very vivid in his explanation of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
I mean, it's almost as if they were there witnessing it with their own eyes. Paul was that powerful in his presentation, and it was so powerful they believed. And then these Judaizers came along and said, hey, that's great. We appreciate you. Gave a little pat on the head and said, but if you really want to be one of God's chosen people, you have to be circumcised. You have to follow the customs of the law, the customs of Moses, just like we are, because we're really in tight with God.
Yes.
And Paul was not going to have any of that.
No.
And he came down pretty hard. You foolish Galatians. Why? In beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to complete the task through human effort? And that's what law is all about. It's about human effort, isn't it?
When we take it this way,
yes.
That's all it can be.
All it can be. It's all about human effort. And we try, and when we fall down, we double down on those efforts. Mm-hmm. We try to give it a better shot, and we fall again, and we just keep falling. But that's what we'll always do if we're allowing the law to be our guide for life. If it's the rule for life, then we're going to live right in the heart and center of condemnation, fear, and guilt. That's what the law does. And when we're there, it creates a whole lot of other things that aren't so good either, and we're going to talk about those in just a minute, Bob.
Well, this is, of course, the Friday study series from the Basic Gospel, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us. If you don't have your copy of the study guide, you can get one by going to our website, the specially produced website, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. And we want to thank the many of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. Because of what you do, we at Basic Gospel are able to do what we do. That's take the truth, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to so many others who are searching, who need to hear that God loves them and has provided for them. We've seen it countless times over the years that when the truth is heard, when the truth takes root, new life, a forever changed life, is the result. And when you give and someone hears, believes, and begins to live in the life of Jesus Christ, while you have a part in that. So we ask you today to help keep the good news coming. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. So there's a lot of unintended consequences when you put the law up there and say, that's the guide for life. Well, first and foremost, you're missing the reality of this new life that you have in Jesus. God has given you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is alive, living in you. He is going to guide you. He is going to lead you. Your role is to simply walk by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, and bear the fruit of the Spirit. It's all an internal work that God does within us and then works it out through us in faith. That's what the Christian life is all about. But if you put that law up there, there's a lot of unintended consequences. And we're going to look at 11 verses here in the book of Galatians just to give us a feel, a pretty broad scope of what those unintended consequences are. The first one, I think, is pretty telling. Galatians 1:6 and 7, and we're going to see three things in this particular passage that happens when we put human effort up there as the way to go forward. So, Richard, why don't you read that to us?
Okay. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ.
Okay. So here's three things that Paul points out in these two verses. The first, when you put human effort as the way to live the new life, mm-hmm. you are deserting the one who called you.
Yeah.
It's not about trusting him anymore. It's about trusting you and your abilities.
Correct.
And that's the way of the world. So if you're going to start trusting in your abilities, then you're going to be deserting the one who called you by grace. The second thing is you're going to turn to a different gospel. You're going to leave the one message for another message.
Yes.
It's all about good works. It's about all about being your best, doing more, being more, trying harder. Well, that's no gospel at all, is it, Richard?
Well, no. I mean, if you're about doing and being more and faster and better, then you have to ignore the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, because he's the one who did everything. What am I trying to do to replace him with me?
Right. And the word gospel means good news.
Yes.
So the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus really is good news. Mm-hmm. Because in it we see that God has done something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. So you hear that and you believe it and you rejoice in it.
Yes.
You know, I've been set free by the finished work of Jesus. Well, now you bring in this other message that's all about human effort. Well, as you start to try to live that out, you find out that's not good news at all. Why? No. Because it frustrates you.
Uh-huh.
It puts you in a position of being fearful and feeling guilty all the time and just wondering what in the world God is thinking about you at any given moment. And that's the third thing that we see in this particular passage, is that this message, this other gospel, was throwing the Galatians into confusion.
Yes.
They were being confused as to what this Christian life was all about. I think that is a good description of the Christian world today. You look out at the landscape, the Christian landscape, confusion is one word that you see kind of stamped all over that landscape. People are confused as to how the Christian life is supposed to work. They know that they were saved by grace through faith in Jesus. They've left that and said, thank you, and now they've moved on to find the way forward, and they're missing it every single time. And the harder they try, the more confused they become. So three things. In human effort, you desert the one who called you, you turn to a different gospel, you become confused. The fourth thing is in Galatians 1:10, and we're going to spend just a few minutes on this particular passage, because I think it is so critical that we get this straight. So what does Paul tell us in Galatians 1:10?
Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ.
There it is, peer pressure. And we humans just naturally want the approval of other human beings. We want to get the pats on the back. We want to get the stamps of approval. We want to be liked by other people. So if we don't feel like we're being liked by the group that we respect, then we start to ask questions. Well, what is it that they do? And then we, through human effort, try to replicate that for one reason, to please that group of people so that they will welcome us in to their circle so that we can be part of the in crowd. Yes. We experience that in elementary school. We experience that in junior high. We experienced it in high school and college. You would think that as adults that that would just go away, but that is not the case, is it?
Not at all.
So we come to Christ. We're all excited. We're filled with joy. We just can't wait to find out what this Christian life is all about. So we turn to people that we respect who have been there a lot longer than we have. So we start asking questions. Well, what am I supposed to do? And then they begin giving out a list of things that we're supposed to be doing. You need to go to church. You need to read your Bible. You need to give your money. You need to do this. And all of this list is a to-do list.
Yes.
This is what you need to do to be a good Christian. So to get their stamp of approval, you go about trying to carry out that to-do list, not by grace through faith in Jesus, but by human effort. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you want their approval more than anything. And I personally think this is the biggest root cause of legalism in the world today. We are more interested in what other people think than we are in what God thinks. And we want people's approval more than we want God's. Have you found that to be true?
I have. And what I found when I was doing this myself is that I ignored what the Bible clearly taught about God's attitude toward me. And I started judging God by the same standard I was afraid of being judged by the rest of the world. And if my boss won't accept me because I haven't been good enough, well, I guess God's not going to accept me because I haven't been good enough. Completely forgetting that in Christ, I am a forgiven person. I don't have to come to him and say, you know, please don't wipe me out of the universe. I am a forgiven person. I have eternal life. That's the starting point. And what we tend to do when we get into these legalistic behavior-based modes is that we ignore what the foundation is and we try to rebuild it somewhere else. And instead of the incredible, strong foundation of Jesus Christ, you start building your house in a swamp, it's going to fall apart.
Yes, it is. So we try to please others, mm-hmm. and we just need to come to grips with the fact that what God thinks about us is so much better than what other people think about us. And even if some other person has good thoughts toward me and approves me at a given moment, tomorrow that can change. Mm-hmm. The opinions of people are as fickle as can be. It changes with the wind. You know, anybody in any state would say this, but here in Texas we would say, you know, it changes like the weather. I mean, just like that, just on a dime. That's the opinions of others. But Christ's opinion of us never changes. And he's already given us his stamp of approval, and that stamp of approval is his presence in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. The fact that Christ lives in you and the promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you should be proof enough that you are always accepted in the Beloved. If you weren't, God would depart, but he never will because of the shed blood of Jesus. So there's a powerful thing here that we have to realize, that this gospel message gives us ultimate freedom to be the human beings that God has created us to be.
Yes.
We rob ourselves of that potential when we look to the opinions of others and try to please them through human effort. So we've got to get that straight. So one of the consequences, unintended consequences of human effort is trying to please men. And then there's several that we're going to see in Galatians 2, verses 12 through 14. And this is a pretty telling passage as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so we see before certain men came from James, he used to eat with Gentiles. This is Peter.
Yeah.
So Peter was being the human that God had created him to be, fellowshipping with any and everyone who had come to know Jesus by grace through faith. Mm-hmm. So he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, these Judaizers, he began to draw back and separate from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" So a very telling verse. And this was a public encounter, wasn't it? Paul confronted Peter in front of the entire group there at Galatia. And it was a powerful thing. And what do we learn about Peter and anyone who is trying to live by human effort and trying to please men? Well, the first thing that we see, we become fearful of those we're trying to please.
Yeah.
That's just natural, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're afraid that we're never going to live up to their expectations. And when we don't live up to their expectations, we're fearful of what they might do to us as a result. They may reject us. They may ostracize us. They may make fun of us. They may be critical of us. And we're fearful of those things. And so we draw back and we walk on eggshells. Mm-hmm. See a lot of people out there walking on eggshells, don't we? See a lot of people in churches walking on eggshells for this very reason. The next thing that we see is that the body of Christ becomes divided, and that fear, division start to take place. So what we had back in that day were the Gentiles over here and the Jews over here, and never the two would meet.
Yeah.
That's just not right.
That's not
what the gospel is all about. The gospel tore down those walls of hostility, and they brought two people groups that were at odds with each other, that were enemies one toward another, and brought them together as one in Christ.
Yes.
Jew and Gentile making up the body of Christ. There are to be no divisions. But when we lean on human effort, when we try to please others, fear gets into the picture and it causes divisions of every kind. And that's just not right. That's why we have to get back to by grace through faith in Jesus. That's how the Christian life is supposed to work.
That's how it's supposed to work. And friends, we're glad you joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel. Again, you can find the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the companion study guide when you visit SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. You know, at Basic Gospel, we are privileged to proclaim the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are blessed to have many of you partnering with us. The need is great, and Basic Gospel has the answer of the heart needs of people everywhere, people who are ready to hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Please join with us, friends. The blessing of your gift through Basic Gospel can make the difference in someone's life. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, when you do, we have a special gift for you. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. And once again, this is the study edition of Basic Gospel that we present every Friday on Facebook, live on the online, and on the air. And we're glad that you joined us. Well, we'll be back for another live edition this coming Monday. And we hope you have a wonderful weekend of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis, God bless you. And we'll see you then. Bye-bye.